Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and if you look down in verse 48, we'll look at the second clause of that verse this morning, wherein old Dr. Luke writes, and we read, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Stewardship. It has been the message of my father and your pastor for the past several weeks as we've been studying this topic of stewardship and of giving and of responsibility throughout the month of January. Stewardship speaks of the responsibility of a steward. A steward is a servant of whom faithfulness is a prerequisite. When I went to college, when I went to the University of, actually, it's Cal State University at Fullerton, there were prerequisites that I had to meet to get into certain classes. Now, some classes, just sort of your general ed classes, everybody could take those classes at will. But there were other classes, as you began to move forward, as I began to move forward in my college career, classes that were not permitted to me unless I had taken the prerequisite course. You and I are not stewards unless we have met an important prerequisite. And that prerequisite, that requirement, if you will, is faithfulness. A steward is to be faithful before he's allowed to be a steward. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul the Apostle writes, "It is required in stewards that one be found faithful." And the idea there is that he is a servant who has first served faithfully, and now the master is now willing to make him responsible over greater things. He is willing to give him more responsibility because he has first been found faithful in the little things. And so now a servant may be elevated to become a steward. So a servant and a steward are really two different things. In this chapter here in the book of Luke, Jesus presents this sermon, and it's quite long and it's quite in depth. You can go over it at your leisure this afternoon here in Luke chapter 12. But it was a time of great fame for the Lord when he presented this hard message, really, challenging those who would follow him, not just to be followers, but to be stewards. It was a time of great fame in his earthly ministry. Many followed him, and yet here he preached a sermon designed to thin the ranks of hypocrisy. Notice what we read in verse 1. "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together," the Greek word there is myriads, thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of people. Some have imagined this number to be well over 20,000 people. And it makes sense, doesn't it? As you read further, what do we read? But that as the people had gathered together, they trampled one another. This was quite a hustle and bustle. There was multitudes and myriads of people, so much so that people were being injured in the crowd. And he began to say to his disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And whatever you have spoken in the ear, in inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetops. Jesus challenged those who would be his disciples by admonishing them of what was expected of them. In his message to the masses, he exhorted his followers to be, and you can read through the passage, he exhorted those who would follow him, who would dare to profess his name, to be called his disciples, to be first simple in their trust in God. You first have to trust the Lord before you can be his servant. Simple trust in God. He exhorted them to be genuine in their faith, bold in their belief, heavenly-minded in their aims, and faithful in their earthly service, always keeping the will of the Master in their hearts, watching for Him and waiting on Him. You can read through this passage, and those are the topics that Jesus addresses as He challenges those who would follow Him, who would say, I want to follow you, I want to serve you. Jesus would say, look, I'm not just looking for servants, I am looking for stewards. You must first be found faithful. Then I will give you great responsibility that you might serve me as a steward. This faithfulness was to have its source in their gratitude for all they had been given by the Master. Notice, back in our text, in verse 48, what did we read? Jesus said, to whom much is given. That was sort of the first part of it. I don't expect anything of you, but that I have first given to you. What have you been given? What have we received? Jesus challenges us on that point first. It is to the one who has first been given much, of whom much is required. The Lord requires nothing of us if we have not received anything of Him. Peter, during Jesus' message, had stepped forward at one point, and of course, wouldn't we expect him to? The big, lovable fisherman who always took a chance and an opportunity whenever he could to put his foot right in his mouth, to step forward and ask the bold question, the things that other people might have been wondering, Peter was willing to shout out and say, wait a minute, I got my hand raised, I have a question. You gotta love Peter. He had stepped forward during the sermon, and he had said to the Lord, you can see it in verse 41, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us? And you can read about the parable about the faithful servant and the evil servant earlier in that passage. What are you talking about? Is it something that only concerns us, your close disciples, or is this something for everyone? Is this just for your public ministers, if I might put it that way? Is it just for those who are sort of the heads, the leaders in your church? Is it just for the public ministers, or is your message here in Luke chapter 12 for everyone who would follow you? Notice, Jesus once again emphasizes faithfulness. You almost would think he wasn't answering Peter's question. Jesus says, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in their due season? Peter says, well, who are you talking to? Is it for us or is it for everyone? And Jesus challenged him, who is the steward? Who is this message for? And he brings this eventually down to verse 48, where he specifically gets back to Peter's question. And how does he begin that second clause of verse 48? For everyone. For everyone. This message is for everyone who would be a follower of the Christ, who would be a disciple of Jesus, who would serve the Lord. For everyone to whom much is given. And then he goes on, speaking about our great responsibility before him. Everyone to whom much is given. All right, now, may we place our feet in the sandals of those who heard the Master speak that day. We hear the message of faithful service. We understand that it is expected that a steward of Jesus Christ be found faithful. But here the challenge is put to us. Our stewardship is based first on the Master's faithfulness to you and to me. What have I received? What have you been given? Only then can we understand what is required of us. In Romans chapter 8, perhaps you might turn a few pages to that wonderful book, to that glorious chapter. It has often been said by men of God that a Christian's Bible should be so worn into Romans chapter 8, so broken in the spine in that place that if it would fall on the floor, the Scripture would just open up to Romans chapter 8. It should be a familiar passage to all of us. And I suppose there are many places we might turn to this morning to examine what you and I have been given. And yet, perhaps none is so eloquent as Romans chapter 8, especially here in verse 32. What have we been given? What have you received? The Lord says, He who did not spare His own Son. Now that's quite a statement to start off with when you're talking about somebody's son. I have children. I have two sons. I would spare my children rather than sacrifice them for anybody here this morning. There's a father here in the Scripture, though, who says, I did not spare my own son for you. I gave him up. That's incredible love. That's why writers have written songs like Amazing Grace. It's incredible. It's staggering. We take it for granted because how many times have we heard the gospel as we sit here in our pews this Sunday morning? But to think of what that means. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for how many people? For us all, for everyone. How much have you been given? What have I received? Everyone to whom much has been given. We read here, He, God, the Father, who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him now? With Jesus, with His Son, whom He raised from the dead, of course, also freely, freely. In other words, without a good reason, just because He loves you. How shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? In another place, Paul would write that you and I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Nothing has the Father withheld from you or me as His children. In verse 38, Paul goes on and says, I'm persuaded, and I hope all of us are persuaded along with the faithful apostle. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us, you and me, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How can this gift of God, how can this gift of the Master not cause within us a burning to serve Him? To serve Him with the utmost of faithfulness. And more than that, to serve Him with great joy for what has been granted to us as His people, called by His name in the church. How can we fully understand what we have been given and not realize how much is required of us? That we should be faithful, and that we should joyfully serve the Master. I often challenge my son, Christian, why are we in church? What are we doing here? Why do we sing the gospel songs and listen to the gospel words? What did Jesus ever do for you? He knows well the answer. He's been raised in the scriptures. Jesus died for us, is his simple reply. Sometimes I'll tease him a little bit. Is that it? He's just dead? Some old guy 2,000 years ago just died for you and that's about it? No, Dad, he rose again the third day. He did? Well, where is he now? He's up in heaven. He sits there at the right hand of his Father. He's praying and interceding for you and for me. You see, Jesus gave his life that we might never die, that we might have hope even of heaven. And so we sing his praise, and so we listen to his word, that we might commune together as his church, together with him, that we might know his will for us as his body. You see, that's why we come to church, because we desire, or at least we are supposed to desire, that we should be found faithful, not just as servants. Remember Jesus, what did he tell his closest? He said to them, I don't call you servants, I call you my friends. Jesus isn't just looking for servants. He's looking for friends. He's looking for stewards. Those who are closest to him, who know his heart, who, like David, are people after his heart, who are ever pursuing the heart of their God and their Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what he is looking for. Not servants of obligation. He looks for those who would serve him out of their love for him. That is what he is looking for. Because he first loved us. And so, should he not expect our love for him in return? And so what are we doing here this morning? As I ask my son that question on occasion, I challenge this church with the same question. What are you doing here? Why did we come this morning? Not all, perhaps, would sing. Not all may be listening even now. What are we doing here? Some are not here today. Some of us will not bother to come back next week. What are we doing here? What do we think church is all about? There are those in this fellowship who serve faithfully as stewards. Yet there are others who follow Jesus and yet do not serve him as he rightfully expects that they should serve him. Peter said, and I say today, Lord, who is this message for? Is it for me? Jesus said it was for everyone to whom much has been given. What have you been given? I often complain about what I don't have. I often complain about what I'd like to get. And yet, when push comes to shove, can we not readily confess that in Jesus we have been given everything? If we will say amen to that, and I heard many do it just now, we must look at this passage and say, okay, I agree with you, Lord. I have been given much. Then we must also agree with the next part of our Master's word and understand that from us, much is required. Because to whom much has been committed or given, of him or her, they will ask the more. God expects you to use your time, your talent, and your treasure for him, for his glory, for his will, and for his purposes. Our time, he expects us to spend time with him. And you might say, I don't have time to pray. The Bible makes it real simple to us. Paul said, pray without ceasing then. Instead of making a scheduled time of prayer for the Lord, just continually be in communion with Him, walking in His presence wherever you are, wherever you go, whoever you are with. Just act as if, because He is, act as if the Lord is right there next to you all day long. And whatever comes your way, whatever comes across your path, whatever comes up in your circumstances, take it to the Lord. Lord, you see what's going on here. I need help. Lord, I need wisdom here. Lord, that person needs you over there. And just everything that comes to you, pass it right over to your friend who stands and walks with you. That's all the Lord expects. He doesn't expect us to spend 2 hours every morning on our knees in some place of solitude praying. That's a wonderful thing to be able to do. But the Lord would say, why don't I just go with you all day long? See, so often we compartmentalize our spiritual life. You know, we have our time of prayer, but every other time it's our time. And, you know, I spend my time with myself and with those that I'd rather be with. And the Lord is excluded. How about He just walks with us and talks with us all the day long? That's what He's looking for, because that's what a steward would do. A servant would be expected, okay, I do need to, the master expects me to spend some time with him today, so I need to make time for that. A servant serves out of obligation, okay, I got to do that. But a steward, who's been given great responsibility, who's been given so much, serves out of love and says, hey, instead of just a couple hours, how about all day we just spend the day? How about we spend my lifetime together with you? Taking the time to get familiar with His book, with His word, with His truth. We need to spend time in the Word of God. A faithful steward wants to know the mind of his master, the will of the one he serves. And how else can we know it but that we know what He has said? We need to be faithful, not just in prayer, but also in our meditation of His Word. And also, the Bible tells us, don't forsake, don't neglect the assembly of the congregation of the church. When the doors are open, God's people should be gathered together. We need one another. This church is only strong as we are together and bound together in a true fellowship in Jesus Christ, in His name and in His love for you and for me. This is what the Lord would expect if you have been given much. This is what He requires of you, that you, now, you belong to Him. You are a steward of His blessings. And of course, our talent. The Lord has blessed us with various talents and abilities to minister in various ways, to present our testimony for Him in different ways, and to be able to reach different people. The Lord has created us a diverse crowd that we might reach out to a diverse world and community around us. So the Lord says, okay, I've created you in a certain way, and I want you to use what I have given to you and how I've created you to reach out to those around you. There are those you can speak with and reach out to that perhaps I cannot, and vice versa. So the Lord says, okay, I got your time. I also want your talent. I want your life to be a life of service to me. And we might say, Lord, what can I do for you? I'm so weak. Sometimes we feel like we just don't have anything to offer or to give. And the Lord says, look, you have my Holy Spirit. I will empower you if you will trust me. And that's why He starts off in Luke chapter 12 explaining to His disciples, simple trust in God is where it all starts. If you will trust me, I will empower you to serve me in a great way, in a perfect way, if you would just follow me. And of course, we speak about our treasure, our finances perhaps. But let's not limit it to money. Let's think of it in the sense of resources. How has the Lord blessed us, and what has He blessed us with, and how can we use that? You know, to some people, writing a check is nothing. They got loads in the bank, and they can just write out a check, and it's hardly a ministry. It costs them nothing. But all of us have some type of resource. Some type of resource. There is a way that God can use you, no matter if you are rich or poor. Because in Christ, Hey, we have the fullness of His glory. The hope of glory is within us. And the Lord says, look, I will bless you and I will give you resources, and I simply ask that you use them for my kingdom, to seek first my kingdom. So we examine our life. Might you and I examine our salvation, our Savior? What have you been given by the Master? What then do you imagine He expects of you as a steward of His blessings? Jesus said, verse 43, blessed is that servant who his master will find so doing. What's he doing? He is faithfully serving. You can read the passage. The one who is faithfully serving. In other words, he's not just a servant, he's a steward by the very definition of the word. Blessed is that servant who his master will find acting as a steward when he comes. That is what is expected of every person here, because it is to everyone to whom much has been given. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you for the strength of the word that Jesus spoke, the great admonition and exhortation that he gave to all of us, Lord, that we might be stirred up by your Holy Spirit to do good works in the name of your Son. Father, I pray for these your people. I pray for this church. Might we not simply be a house of servants, Lord, but might we be a place where stewards gather, that we might strengthen one another, that we might, Lord, be emboldened in our great responsibility that we have to you. And Lord, might it begin from our love to you, Lord, a love that has grown out of your great love, which has first been shown to us. In Jesus' name, amen.